Hello, and welcome back to Candidly with Coffee.
What's up? What's up?
This is a special one today.
Yep.
Well, just because it's extra.
Extra.
I feel like we owe the extras. We missed so many episodes over the past few months.
Yeah.
That, you know, why not?
I know. We've had our fair share of ups and downs the last few months, so now we got to play catch up again.
Got to play
a little catch up. Give some bonus content.
Yeah. Yeah, I get so much feedback. I actually even got like several comments on TikTok. That, oh my gosh, I love your podcast. I was like, wow, we even have some listeners from TikTok.
Ask them, do they want more? Put a poll out there.
So we're here. We're back in the pod for a bonus episode this week. So hopefully you guys are having a great week. I love end of the week. I start to love kinda Thursdays. Cool. And then, you know, I'm in a better mood. And then Friday is my favorite day of the week, I think. And Saturday. I just love, so like, I feel like my mood is better to do a podcast towards the end of the week and like actually record it.
Yeah.
Through the end of the week. So, you know, you just never know when we're going to pop up on your podcasts to listen to. So make sure you're subscribing on iTunes so it'll automatically download when we have a new episode so you won't miss it.
Yeah. I think we should do keep doing these pop-ups.
Yeah, why
not? Pop-ins, pop-ups, however you want to call it.
Yeah, sure. Bonus. So funny because a lot of times you and I will start chatting and I'll like pause the conversation because I'm like, nope, this is a great podcast combo. Like, stop talking because we got to do it on the podcast because I like to have the in-the-moment real conversation emotions. Rather mm-hmm. than rehash it because then it's not as authentic to me the second time around.
Yeah.
If we talk about it again. So that's why I cut you off sometimes. But just to give you a little, what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about a couple of things in the headlines, which is very funny, interesting, like pop culture stuff. And then I want to debunk some of the biggest myths in terms of like weight loss, the stupidest things that are out there, the things that people still commonly believe about weight loss.
In 2022, they're still believing this stuff?
Yes. Oh, so that's what I want to talk about today. So if you're interested in that, guys, stay tuned because we got a bonus one for you.
Yep.
All right, so
kick it off.
I went to bed last night reading a headline on TMZ, and you know if TMZ reports it, it's true. Did you realize
it's true
that Khloé and Tristan had a baby via surrogacy?
Nope, I didn't know that till you told me.
It's either
they kept that a secret,
going to be born in a couple of days, or was already born, but it was conceived before they broke up. So I'm talking about Khloé Kardashian, obviously, and Tristan Thompson, that dirtbag, and that they got back together after a long time of him trying to get her back after the infidelity stuff. And they got back together in the fall of last year, and they did some infertility treatments, ended up getting a surrogate, and that surrogate got pregnant in November, just to give you guys a little timeline. And then it was in December that the woman who had his baby that he had an affair with or whatever, that had a fling with. And Khloé found that out in December, literally a month after her surrogate became pregnant.
A little too late to do anything about that.
That's insane.
I know. All those months, she's just waiting for the surrogate to have the second child, knowing that
Tristan, and they were about to like have this fairy tale. They moved into her new home. I don't know about if you guys are watching the Kardashians on Hulu. I love it. I literally love it. I love the filming style and the production quality. But my favorite episode is when Khloé moves into her house because it's like my heart goes pitter patter because Khloé is like my aesthetic. I like her style. And I like her,
Thought you're a Kim fangirl.
Oh, I love Kim, but I don't like, I like Kim, but I don't like her house. I wouldn't live in that house. It's too simple for me. Yeah. I like minimal, but not that minimal.
Yeah.
And her style looks cool on her and she pulls off cool things, but again, not my style. I actually more in line with the way Khloé dresses. Like jeans. She's a jeans girl. Jeans and heels with a bodysuit. Like that's my style. And then organization. Khloé's big on organization. She has the pantry of like my dreams.
Mm.
But that was like my favorite episode. They were going to move, but he was going to move into that house.
What a dummy.
And
ruined it.
Then it all came out. So anyways, they're having a baby. I don't think they're going to get back together, but I do think they're going to have a a good co-parenting relationship or whatever. They're probably just better as friends.
This guy just can't keep his thing in his pants, man. He just can't. He has something wrong with him. He's chasing something.
I mean, either Chloe's not
giving him what he's looking for.
I don't think that's it.
Or he's just got a sickness. Like, he just can't.
You know what it is?
Or loyalty issue.
No, I think he can't say no. He doesn't know how to say no. Like, the girls throw themselves at him.
A lot of men, unfortunately, have that weakness about them. They don't know how to. They get this. I don't know. They get this, like, this feel like, oh, wow, she's into me. Look, whoa, my girl's not showing me this kind of attention. Guys fall for that dumb dude.
I don't think it's even attention thing.
No. I'm just making an example. Yeah. I don't know what it is. His is a sexual thing.
For him, like, I think it's, pure. Like, I don't think he has affairs or emotional relationships at all. So I think in his mind, he doesn't really see it as a big deal because he doesn't value, sex like that.
Men look at it like it's just sex. It means nothing. That's when they have affairs.
Because these hookups literally happen via Snapchat. I mean, these girls are just. The ones that go for this, like, they're treated like literally like a piece of meat. It's worse than prostitution because they're not even getting paid for it.
Nope.
Except for this chick, Marlene Nichols, is getting paid because she got a paternity test done and he's going to have to pay.
Going to have to pay.
But, you know, it's literally like Snapchat hookups. He has a Snapchat, an anonymous Snapchat. He never communicates with them via
Snapchat,
the phone.
Snapchat, huh? Snapchat. Not Instagram.
Because it's more, Snapchat goes away. It's like these combos that goes away. It's an anonymous account he has. They literally reach out to him on Snapchat. He tells them what hotel room to go to. They have sex and that's it. Like, they don't even exchange phone numbers.
Damn.
And I'm sure there's, and Khloe made a comment in the last episode, one of the episodes of Kardashians before the season ended that, this is just the one I know about. Like, she finally, clicked. Like, there's probably dozens.
Oh, yeah. Remember he got caught leaving with two girls one time? TMZ?
Oh, that yeah. Time. That was the first time. That was the when this all came out. Yeah, yeah. I think that since then, the hookups have been more even more discreet. Like, just literally Snapchat hookups. But I'm sure there's tons.
And then somebody got him outside of a hotel with a girl. Remember that one time?
That was that same middle of the night? Roundup. Same roundup? That was that same, I don't think he is that loose anymore, over the course of this, but still doing it nonetheless.
Yeah. We saw him, remember?
We saw him when all of that stuff broke with Jordan Woods. He was in L.A.
Well, no, what was that spot where?
He was in L.A.
Uh-huh, yes.
And that he hooked up with Jordan Woods that weekend. We saw him at the Ivy.
There you go. So my point, what I was getting to, we spotted him immediately, correct?
Yeah, because he's
a big. That's what I'm saying. Like, dude, you're everybody knows who you are, bro. You play in the NBA. You cannot be discreet, homie. No. You cannot.
No, but he doesn't go in public. It's literally
how does he walk in a hotel? Does he leave a hotel? Somebody's got to see.
No, he's. I'm telling you, this is what he does. He has his. He only hooks up when he's out of town on his trip. So he's already in a hotel room.
Yes,
and he's in his room. And then has security or whatever meet these girls and bring them to his room.
Yeah.
And he coordinates it via Snapchat.
Arrangements.
Yeah. It's like, so he's never seen with them outside of a room, outside of a hotel room. Never seen. So there's no, that's why there isn't any footage or anything with him and this chick.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm sure, pretty sure they check them. Give them a pat down for their cell phones and everything. I mean, look at what happened just recently with Conor McGregor. Why don't you share that?
Oh, boy.
I'll
share it. So, and anybody could go look it up. Go to Jake Paul, Jake YouTube sensation star, call him what you want. Now boxes. Him and Conor McGregor have been going back and forth beefing. And finally, Jake Paul got some footage that he says Conor McGregor's PR team's been trying to hide. Shows Conor McGregor sleeping. Face down, and it shows the girl kind of video. And the video looks grainy. You could tell it's Connor. You can see the tattoo on his back. That's Connor. And she's filming this. She does some stupid shit, like tongue between her two fingers.
Yeah, and she's probably naked.
So basically, showing hey, look, you know, and I guess they try to hide that video. And in the video, Jake Paul always says, yeah, Conor McGregor, go party with your hookers, cocaine, and Dana White. He threw Dana White in the mix.
Yeah.
Accusing Dana White. There has been accusations that Dana White has had affairs, his own set of affairs, and is brushing under the rug.
Yeah, like that he has a certain, certain girls that go on the...
Yes.
That meet but
he's,
or something
he's
like
really
that,
rich and he's good at hiding. You know, when these guys have that kind of money, they're able to stamp it.
They
but,
squash things mm-hmm. really quickly with
pay
payments.
People off.
Yeah.
Hush money.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that video is it looked very grainy. And
could
you know
be altered.
That, you know what that means? It was at, it was pitch black in the room.
Oh, that's why. You're right.
That's how she got it. It was pitch black
in the
room.
Waited for him to be passed out, too.
Waited for him to be asleep, pitch black in the room. Either that, or they did check for cell phones, and like she left her cell phone in a basket or whatever. Because I know of people who've gone to those parties where you have to check in your cell phone.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Hold on real quick. Okay. Or she had a hidden, like a little camera, like a tiny little camera. And that's why it's so grainy with night vision and snuck it in.
Ah, dude, that's possible.
What did you want to ask me?
If I was in that situation, what would you be your thoughts if you saw that video?
You'd be in a lot of trouble. Ooh. What do you mean? I would flip a effing gasket.
How mad you think his...
Oh, he has three kids like, with him now. What did I tell you? Charter up the plane. You got to take her to Louis, Gucci,
she's not gonna
or Maze.
The reason I say it, one thing about his woman, he needs to realize she was with him when he was couldn't rub two nickels to make a fucking 10 cents. Flat broke, pushed him to train, stayed with him, did his diet. You got to remember those things. I get it. She might not do some certain things behind the major you're looking for. Guys are always searching for like these crazy sexual adventures and the sex capes, but they're too afraid to talk to their mate about it for some reason.
But you know, a lot of that, what's they say that is because men have been desensitized to traditional sex.
Yes.
Because they have access to so much on the internet now. And that's why it's actually not good. It's truly, you got to think about how the human body is. It's not good to constantly expose yourself to all of this like crazy sexual stuff on the internet just because it's available, because it desensitizes you to what used to bring pleasure and now it's heightened. And that's what why people like they it's like chasing a high. Sex is the same. So you have to be careful.
Guilty. Number four, guilty. Yes, it is. It could be a high. Yes, it is a high. You chase it like a drug.
But you chase it.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
And you and men always in our minds, we're always chasing for the next big thing. Like, okay, she was okay in bed. Let's see what the next girl. She's better. And then sometimes we get with people we shouldn't be getting because, yes, they're good in the bedroom, but they're not a good mate for you. There's a difference. That's not, you got to separate the two.
Yeah. But anyways, that's what, that's crazy.
Yeah. 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 Like, for instance, you know, I always make fun of the Victoria's Secret, like that's so, who wears lingerie anymore? That's so 80s, 90s, so played out.
Well, because it's like, again, I
that was a big deal back then. It's nothing now.
Like, yeah.
You wore lingerie heels. Whoopty fucking dude. It's been done 100 million times
it's
over.
It's not even that. It's just that people walk around wearing stuff like that.
So
again,
it's not
desensitized. You're right. It's not special anymore.
Yes.
It's taken.
That's crazy the way you put it though. Never looked at it that way, but you are absolutely 100% correctamundo.
Yeah. You actually.
Okay, another example I'll say, and this is totally a little bit different from the subject. We've seen all these people getting murdered and shot and killed on the internet, on Instagram. I get videos DM'd to me all the time, and it's crazy. It's like, it's scary to watch because it's, damn, that person died, but it's almost like it doesn't faze me anymore. It's like I'm becoming desensitized.
Well, that's what causes a lot of problems in society, honestly. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Yes.
Any kind of addiction, or like... extreme thing that you have, it was basically addiction, you're always chasing a high. That's why addicts end up eventually overdosing, because they're chasing that first high.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's why like rapists end up becoming murderers, or like killers become serial killers, and their killings become more crazy
because
as they
the rape wasn't enough. Now I have to rape her and mutilate her body.
Yeah,
turns me on. Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
on like smaller scale, it's the same thing. It's like in the sex, right? It's the same thing. It's like you watch so much crazy sexual stuff that little things, regular normal things, don't turn you on anymore. Or you, if the more you're exposed to something, you become less sensitive to it. It's the same thing with like even body, like insulin resistance and all that stuff,
right?
And health. It's the same thing.
Crazy.
It's the same thing. The more your body is exposed to something, you become desensitized to it, and then you get insulin resistance. I mean, it's just how we are made up as humans. So you have to understand how we work, the intricacies of how we work to get around things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, anything. You take a sleeping pill. If you take a over-the-counter sleeping pill every day for a month, you're going to end up having to take two and then take three in order to get it to work, because you become resistant.
Yes.
It's the same thing.
Yes.
It's a really important thing to understand about being a human if you can understand the way you work, especially individually, because everyone is kind of a little different. If you understand the way you work and really try to understand that, you'll have a better job at being successful with things, whether it's your job or weight loss or fitness goals or being a parent. You have to really try to study yourself.
Yeah. It's kind of like, not to be off subject or topic, but it's kind of like what you always say, you look forward to cheat day because you're not having that every day. So when you do have it that once a week, it tastes amazing. But you have it every day, you're like, oh, it's cheat day, but I've already had it 4 days this week. It's like, eh, I already had it. It's not that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's why it's also good to not over-restrict yourself, because then it doesn't make it seem like it's so special that you can't control yourself around it.
Yes.
It's kind of like if you love cupcakes, but you never allow yourself to have a cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
Then you finally have it. You can't control yourself around it. You go crazy.
Your body just goes.
There's a balance. There's a balance with it.
Yeah.
With.
But back to Chloe and Tristan. Man, that's sad for her, man. But this is what I say. I partly blame her. I know he's a dirtbag and does what he does. But listen, this is what I've been saying for years. And you can go through the history of the NBA. I always say these women should not try to lock these dudes down while they're in their 20s. The infidelity that goes on in the NBA is very high. Because these guys travel, they're in hotels, like you said. And these guys in their 20s, too, the way they think is like, oh, no, I'm not just going to be with this one chick forever.
But
hell
she
no,
didn't
I'm
try to lock him down. He tried to lock her down.
He tried to pull the old slick, I'm going to lock her down and be a player. I know.
I don't blame her at all. I am totally against you on this one.
You fucked up and gave her a second. He gave her a second chance, knowing what kind of guy he is.
So you don't believe in second chances?
I mean, his track record is bad, man.
But
how
his
many
track
times?
Record...
Bad. How many times he did it to her? TMZ over and over and over embarrassed her name. Like, come on.
But I still don't blame her. She was just trying to keep her family together.
That don't work.
He, like, fed her a bill of goods during COVID, during the pandemic.
Of course.
That he was a changed man.
And what guys do is they I'll tell you how they get the woman back. Slowly. Step one foot forward, okay. Don't push to her. Step another foot forward, don't push to her. Next thing you know, you guys are sleeping again. Now all the emotions are back raw again. And that's how it usually...
Yeah, but I don't, like I said, I don't blame her. I blame him.
I know it's not her fault. No, it's not her fault. I'm just saying she got to be careful. Stop dating these basketball players. The first one didn't work out in her life either. That's not her fault either. But these dudes are just, they're not ready to settle down until I think they're later on in their later years. You know?
Yeah.
You get lucky with some of them, like a Steph Curry, who's super, that guy right there is like the face of every good man on planet Earth.
I hope so. But you know what? I hope I don't get tainted on that too. That would just shatter me. To find out if Steph Curry was a dirtbag. To be honest, I was kind of shattered when his parents split up.
That was a shock.
That shocked me because I thought they were the picture perfect couple family. You know what?
I've heard rumblings that he had his affairs and stuff too when he was in the
NBA.
But
here's the thing.
His father.
It's just perception is.
What do you always say?
Yeah. Where there's smoke, there's fire is what I always say. But I also say that people always put their best foot forward on social media.
Yes.
And what you think their life looks like, it's
usually the opposite.
Yeah. I heard some stuff and I can't share the specific gossip. I can't
Why not?
Share. No,
oh, yeah,
I can't
yeah,
share
can't
the name.
Throw that person. Yeah, yeah.
No. I can't share the name, but I got some juice on some big social media influencers that I know, that I've met, that I've been in contact with. That portray a certain thing on social media.
Of course.
And their spouse, they're having marital trouble. Bad. Major marital trouble.
Ooh, major.
And their spouse is threatening to out them. But what do I always say? What do I say? What bothered me about like being in the keto community? What did I say? Like I felt like it was really fake.
Yeah.
I felt like people were portraying one thing and living a different life.
Yep.
So this is in line with that. I'll give you that hint and that's it. But that's the risk you take when you don't live an authentic life.
Yeah, true.
You know?
Yep.
And so, this person.
Careful scorning your woman.
Yeah, well, what do they say about a woman scorned? Do not, like, underestimate a scorned woman, man.
Men do all the time, like idiots. The male ego is a mother. We do, and we shouldn't. Like, I tell guys, don't, dude. Just because you're physically stronger than a woman, don't underestimate her scorn. Women can do some shit.
Yeah, so, you know, this one didn't surprise me. It was funny because I said, like, to the person who gave me the info, and it's direct from the source, so this is true.
From the horse's mouth.
She almost told me, like, you know, you were, like, we talked about this before. This was your opinion on this person. It was right. And I was like, I knew it, because you always trust your gut. I just had that feeling. But, you know.
Instincts.
That's why I say, like, live an authentic life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The problem is when you start
to make your.
Because
you will get exposed eventually.
When you start to make your money on a certain way of living, and then you stop living that way, or you're no longer, you don't want to lose the money. So you kind of like live the fake life, but eventually it'll come out.
Yes.
But it also goes to show you that, because if you were to see these people on social media, you would think like the Cleavers, okay, like Leave It to Beaver.
Hmm.
But just goes to show you guys, social media,
mm-mm.
There's a lot that goes on behind
yes.
the doors.
Don't believe
of
in the
media.
Videos and the pics.
And there was not one. I have a few different, like there was two different in particular, very large social media presence that it's not what it seems. Let's just put it that way. I cannot reveal my sources, but all right. So moving on, we're out of the headlines. We're out of the infidelity. Let's talk about debunking some myths. I know you like to laugh about the things people believe.
Debunk.
But let's go into just some common ones that I hear.
Yeah.
Okay. Debunking myths when it comes to weight loss. So one thing I hear all the time is someone will message me saying, I am in a calorie deficit, but I think that I'm starving myself. I'm not eating enough, so I'm gaining weight. I'm not eating enough.
I'm not eating enough.
So I'm
in a calorie
weight.
Deficit,
yeah.
But I'm gaining weight.
Yeah. It's impossible.
That's define the law of what? What do you call that?
Thermodynamics.
There you have it, people.
It's actually impossible. It's and I'll break it down like what's probably happening. There's one of two things probably happening.
I don't mean to cut you off, but you know how many times I've heard that same thing you just said? I haven't heard it on a podcast, and Joe Rogan called out that person on the podcast.
Just oh, really?
Like he said the same thing. You know who it is. I'm going to expose him.
Why?
It's a coach. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I don't eat that much.
I don't eat that much. People say, like, I don't understand, though.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, I don't track my macros, but I hardly eat, but I'm still gaining weight. They say that a lot, too. Trust me, you're eating more than you think you're eating.
So here, I haven't been tracking my macros, but I've been cutting my meals way down, eating less, and I've just been miraculously losing a little weight here and there.
Because you learned your macros while you were counting them. And then you've kept the meal sizes about the same. I watch you. You keep the meal sizes about the same. So you're tracking without tracking. Protein in every meal, and your meal sizes are about the same.
So miraculously, I'm losing weight somehow, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
I'm just being a smartass.
Okay, so when you starve yourself, the myth is when you starve yourself, you gain weight. It's not true. If you are consistently in a calorie deficit, you're gonna lose weight because your body is going to have to use stored body fat to live, or you will die.
Repeat that again so the people can hear that.
I hate when you do that to me.
I don't care.
Tell
what
me
you
to
hate.
Repeat. Repeat that again.
Oh well.
But you will die.
There you go.
You will not survive. It's like if you tell me that you are not eating enough, therefore you are gaining weight. That is like telling me that you can drive your car on an empty gas tank.
Yeah.
Will your car go?
Yeah.
If you just like, you know what? I'm not going to go to the gas tank. I'm on strike with the gas station. So I'm going to starve my gas, but my car is going to run anyway.
Dude, Britney Spears has ran out of gas because she didn't know how far she could push her car. Prime example. She thought she could make it. She ran out of gas on the 101.
Yeah,
you
I
ran out
that.
Of gas before too on the 101 or the 5. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was not me driving.
That wasn't you driving. But there you go. What happened? The car stopped.
It was my car, though. Yes.
Our
the
vehicle
car
will
stop.
Our
it
vehicle
will
stop.
Stop. It will die.
It will die right here. This vehicle, this vessel.
If your body did not know how to dip into stored body fat, and then it'll dip into stored body fat, but until you don't have any more. When you don't have any more, your organs shut down and you die.
Yep. And we have that happen all over the world. People with kids that are starving to death as we speak. So.
Yeah, exactly. If you go into third world country where people are starving. You do not. They're not overweight.
Nope.
They're not overweight.
Nope. Remember, and nothing against this culture, but it was very mean. A lot of kids would say this. They'd always make fun of skinny kids and always reference Ethiopians.
They would call the, like, if you, they would, as it was a derogatory.
Yes.
It was a derogatory yes. thing to call someone who was skinny. Oh, you look Ethiopian. Because in Ethiopia, the hunger crisis.
Bad.
Of all, and they would have those commercials yes. where all of the kids you could see their rib cages. It was so sad. Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah. So what is happening when someone says that they don't hardly, they hardly eat? Well, for one, it's less common, but if you truly hardly eat and you have hardly eaten for a long period of time, you, there is something, your metabolism will slow down. But again, like what it'll only slow down to a certain degree. It can slow down a little bit to the bare minimum. It'll power down non-essential systems. So you'll have a slower metabolism. So it feels like you're starving yourself and not and still gaining weight, but you're not gaining weight. You're just not losing.
Mm-hmm.
You're only going to gain if you're in a surplus, but your metabolism, you might be in a surplus even at a very low amount of food because you've ruined your metabolism. And you, I say ruin loosely because you can fix it, but you're because your yes. metabolism has adapted.
Yes.
But the other more common thing is you think you're eating a lot less than you actually are.
Yeah. The arrogance of people, they look and they say, I'm not eating that much. Did you weigh? Did you put on a food scale and really find out? That's how you find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, like you'd be surprised. Track in reverse. Really try, like think about like everything you ate over the past week. Everything for a week. And I tell people this, do it for a week. Because, you know, what you ate on 1 or 2 days, if you only ate 1,000 calories on Monday and Tuesday, that doesn't tell me much. Because as the week progresses, you're going to get so hungry, the calorie starts increasing, mm-hmm. and then you go ham on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So then even though you ate Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, maybe you starved yourself to 1,000 calories, you made up for it and then some, and your average calorie intake for the week is more like 1,800, which is probably a surplus for you. So it feels, trust me, because I've been there, I've done this before, when you do that, when you overeat on the weekend and go, oh my gosh, I have to try to fix it on the weekdays, and then you severely undereat, a couple of days of undereating feels like an eternity. And you're starving, especially coming off of a high
yes.
calorie weekend.
Yep.
It feels like an eternity, but it's really not. It's all perception and all how you feel. So it's just not true, guys. If you feel that way, you need to be tracking. And then you, it could also mean that you're trying to eat too low. Sometimes bumping up the calories actually makes it easier to stick to so that you don't have those extreme fluctuations resulting in a surplus. But it doesn't change the fact that undereating doesn't cause weight gain. And you have to be in a surplus for your own body, regardless of where your metabolism is. You have to be in a surplus to gain fat. There's the only, it's the only way you can actually make fat is in a surplus. Can't make fat cells out of nothing.
Out of nothing.
Okay, so another myth, spot treating fat.
Spot
and I
what?
See this all spot treating fat.
Oh yeah.
So I see a lot of even reputable fitness coaches will say like, do this to lose your back fat. Do this to lose your the chicken wings like on your arms. Do this exercise. It's all bullshit.
Mm-mm.
You can't spot reduce fat. Exercises in the gym, think about exercise and weightlifting as growth. Muscles grow when you use them.
Yep.
They don't shrink. And what you're trying to get rid of is actually not muscle. You're trying to get rid of fat, like the flabby underarm flaps, whatever they call them, chicken wings,
chicken
or the
wings,
bra fat, the fat that sticks out of your bra and your back.
Yep.
That's fat. The only way to lose it is a calorie deficit.
That's it.
And certain exercises that target that area are not going to target the fat in that area. They're going to just grow the muscle in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't spot reduce fat. The only way to lose it is to just lose it, and you will lose it genetically. However your body genetically loses fat, everybody's different. Look to your siblings. Look to your parents. That's how you're going to lose. That's how also you're going to gain. Look to them to see, you know, what their body types are. Chances are it's going to be similar. And I hate to break it to you, but usually the place that you want to lose the most is the place that goes the last.
Right?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah,
so you're funny you say that because I think, like, I look at my body and who I got my genetics from, obviously my mom and dad, but I look at their body types. I'm like, okay, I got my lower half from my mother. She had mm-hmm. thick legs.
Yeah, you have her legs
thick
for
legs,
sure.
Big calves. And my father kind of has an upper body when he was younger, muscular, because his construction carpenter, so he's always using his body, swinging a hammer, so it's different. He always had strong arms. And
right.
I look at it like, damn, okay.
Yeah, so look at your family. That's a great way to know. But, you know, and a lot of times I'll have someone say, listen, I don't want to lose any weight, but I have, you know, my pooch. I have like a fat, I have fat in my belly that I want to lose.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
No, you can't.
You can't.
Can't do a million sit-ups and it's going to go away. No,
yeah.
Sorry. It's going to get a strong
so
core.
So if you have fat on your body, I don't care about the number on the scale, but I think everyone attributes it to that, right? If you have fat on your body you want to lose, the only way to do it is by quote-unquote losing weight. Now, it might not reflect on the scale if you're simultaneously putting on muscle or whatnot, but it means that you have to go into a calorie deficit. There's no way around that. If there's fat that you want to lose, a calorie deficit is what you need to be in, meaning that you are going to put yourself into a situation where you're taking in less calories than you burn every day. Creates a negative. And that negative is what will require your body to dip into fat storage to use it to function.
Yep.
And then that will in turn cause you to have less fat on your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
I always go back to the grizzly bear. They load up on salmon, get fat.
We talked about that last.
Yeah.
Episode. Okay, so the next one, hormones cause you to gain weight and gain fat. Indirectly, hormone fluctuations and hormones in and of itself is so general.
What are we talking about, male or female? Or
just hormones. Okay. I'm just saying, and that's what I'm talking about. General, gotcha. People just say hormones. Hormones don't directly cause weight gain in most cases. They can lead you to gain weight for sure, because it like sex hormones in men and women. So like when men's testosterone drops, when women's estrogen drops, but it's not directly because your levels dropped, you are gaining weight. It doesn't trigger any fat storage just by the levels dropping. It's what happens. You become low energy. You move less. You become, you don't sleep as well. When you don't sleep as well, you have more cravings. You have more cortisol. Those types of things cause you to eat more. So it's not the actual hormones in and of itself that are causing the weight gain. It is the side effects from the change in hormone levels that cause the weight gain. So if... like a woman, that's why I tell women it's so important to be on some sort of macros or calorie counting, even if you're not trying to lose weight, but just be aware of your macros before and during menopause, because you will then circumvent the side effects that lead to the weight gain caused by your estrogen starting to drop. Because if your estrogen starts to drop, it may be a little harder. Suddenly you'll feel a little hungrier. Because your cravings are bad, or you're because you didn't sleep as well, but if you still follow your macros nonetheless, you will not gain the weight.
Yep.
There's no difference. There's been many studies, and this includes people in menopause, people with PCOS, where they study two groups, one that is in menopause and one that isn't, and put them on macros or calorie control, and both can lose weight equally. Same with PCOS. So if you have a group of women with PCOS and a
what
group
is that?
I don't even know what that is. Polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's like a hormonal condition that happens. It's a whole other topic in women that causes infertility. It's the leading cause of infertility in women.
Oh, damn.
Really important to get it under control.
Yeah.
But a lot of times the thought process is that if you have PCOS, it's very difficult to lose weight. It's not difficult to actually lose weight when you're in a deficit. It's just difficult to be in a deficit. I think that's the thing people confuse a lot of times. It's difficult to be in the deficit because they have more, you know, more cravings, more stress, poor sleep, all the same types of symptoms that someone in menopause has actually.
Yeah.
But if you put the group with PCOS and the group with no PCOS together on a calorie deficit, and establish a calorie deficit for each group, weight loss is equally possible for each group. It doesn't prevent weight loss. It just makes it harder to stay in the deficit.
Mm. Gotcha.
So that's a common thing. People just automatically assume, oh, I'm in menopause, so I'm going to gain 10 pounds. You don't have to. You don't have to. And if you did gain the weight because you weren't doing some sort of program, working on resistance training, focusing on sleep, and you did gain the weight, you could lose it just like somebody who wasn't in menopause.
Yeah.
As long as we get you on a deficit,
just,
figure out your caloric burn, figure out your caloric intake. It's totally doable. So it's not hopeless. Instead of being upset when I tell you that, you should be happy. For whatever reason, people get upset when I tell them this. Like, no, it's my hormones. Like, listen, you should be happy that I'm telling you, you can fix this.
It's the arrogance of humans thinking they know it all. Like, listen to a professional who's doing this. That's it. Not saying you don't know your body.
I don't think it's the arrogance. I think honestly, it makes it easier to just be able to make an excuse.
That too. It's both, a little bit of both. People just, I know my own body. And you do. You're in your vessel. But obviously, it ain't working because I'm looking at you and whatever you're doing ain't working. So, well, I'm just keeping it, you know.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm going to help you, rather than...
Don't fight me. Work with me. Like that's... Yes. I'm helping you. I'm not trying
Let me help you.
Go against you. I'm trying to help you. That's it.
Yeah, because sometimes I feel like...
I remember my training, personal training days.
Yeah, some people will get on the defensive when I tell them that. And so that's why, rather than I kind of... Like, let me just put you on a deficit regardless, because all of the... Or all of the protocol in my program... All of the things that work for somebody in their 20s that's not in menopause, that's at their peak, all of that protocol still works for somebody in their 50s that's been in menopause. It's still the same lifestyle changes. It's still good sleep, drink water, resistance training, move your body, control calories, eat protein.
And don't use your age as no damn excuse, because we're older too. Remember somebody tried to call you out recently because your age?
Oh, that younger? Was so funny. So I got to share that.
Yeah, you got to share. I got to remind you.
So I was doing a video on TikTok and I was talking about hormones and the ability to lose weight, you know, doesn't change when you get older, you know, and you can still lose weight and things like that. I was just talking about the challenges. And then someone said, and I was talking about calorie deficits, how they would still work.
Yes.
Someone commented and was kind of very condescending and said, sweetheart, this is all fine and dandy. But when you're in your 40s, when you're in your 40s, everything, you know, this doesn't apply. Everything changes. I'm take it from me. I'm 42 and I'm a health nut and you know, whatever. And I'm like thinking,
she does not know who she's talking to.
Yeah, I'm like, well, yeah, I'm well aware of what it's like to be in your 40s because I'm 46. I'm actually 4 years older than you.
4 years
and older. And it does still work. And I'm also a health nut. So,
two adult children. So, what are we?
But I don't know. She was very condescending. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's she assumed I was younger.
That's a good thing, I guess. Yeah.
It was like, sweetheart.
Like she liked sweetheart. Yeah, like she sunned you. It sounds like I son. Like you, as a man, you son a man my age, but I son him, make him sound like he's.
Listen, son. Yeah. It was kind of like that. Son. It was so funny. So I'm like, ooh, clap my hands together, rub them together.
You do not know who you talking to.
But it was like.
Can we expose her?
No. I didn't do the comment.
I'm joking.
Anyways. Okay. So. Next myth, that a single macronutrient is responsible for fat gain. Usually carbs. People like to vilify carbs. It used to be many years
sugar
ago, it was fat.
Fat.
People thought fat makes you fat. And then now they think carbs make you fat. You know, 5 years, 10 years from now, they'll think protein makes you fat. It's always, it shifts. It's going to shift again.
It's always been a battle between the sugar and the fat too. There's always propaganda. Like,
but it's none of it.
Huh?
And the answer is none of those things individually make you fat without a surplus.
Yes.
And try it. If you don't believe me, you guys, try it.
Experiment.
Go on an all-carb diet. Go on a diet where all you do is eat bread every day but count your calories. Now listen, will it be good for you? Will you be lacking a lot of nutrients? Yes. Will you have some muscle wasting if you're in a deficit and you're not eating any protein? Yes. But you're going to lose weight. You're not going to gain.
Yep.
Eat bread. Eat 1,000 calories worth of bread every day. You're going to lose weight.
That's it.
Listen, people, years ago, somebody would have thought going on an all-fat diet would have been made them super fat. But people do it all the time now, and they call them egg fasts or they eat only eggs and cheese but are in a deficit. And they think, oh, my gosh, this is a miracle. I'm losing so much weight. It's not a miracle. You're only eating 1,000 calories a day. I don't care what it is. If you do some crazy fast and you only eat 1,000 calories a day, you're gonna lose weight.
It's a deficit.
It could be eggs. It could be cheese. It could be rice. Look at them on Survivor. On that show Survivor.
Yeah.
All they eat is rice for 39 days.
You told me that.
They lose hella weight. So skinny. Like, I mean, frail.
The point
skinny.
Of it, almost like
ribs
like
are showing.
Hospital nearby type. Like you better have an ambulance close by because one might fall out.
And all they eat is rice. Oof. That's it. Just
no thanks.
Rice.
I remember you asked me that. Can I go on that show? No, because the stuff they eat or they look malnourished, and I'm good.
So there is no one single macronutrient that is responsible for your weight gain. If you feel like when you cut out carbs, you lose weight, it's because the calories that you're cutting out that are associated with those carbs. So yes, if you used to overeat carbs and ate a lot of calories worth of carbs and you suddenly don't eat them anymore, you're going to lose weight because you're putting yourself in a deficit. But it's the same rings true for fat. It's the same thing. So rather than cut out anything altogether, if you just limit your calories of all the macronutrients, you're going to lose weight and then you're going to have a lot more flexibility and freedom. I mean, that's how I look at it. But sometimes some people just find it easier to be able to be black and white. It just makes it easier if they think, I'm just going to cut out bread.
Yeah.
Because they eat a lot of bread. That's okay to do because if you cut out something, as long as you don't replace it, then yes, you're going to cut out the calories associated with that overconsumption that will then result in a deficit. So a good example is if you're somebody that drinks your calories, you drink regular soda, you drink crazy like drinks at Starbucks.
Yeah.
If you do something as simple as cutting out all of those liquid calories, as long as you don't replace them, it'll just throw you into a deficit without even tracking. Because you've probably been over-consuming calories with lots of liquid calories that are virtually empty, and then you'll be in a deficit.
Yep.
And the last one we'll talk about, it's a big one, nighttime eating causes weight gain. It doesn't.
Eating after what time?
It doesn't.
8, 9?
There is no...
Yeah, we were always taught that. Don't eat after 7. Don't eat... I just someone on IG somewhere was like, you don't eat after 8 and don't eat before noon and you'll lose weight faster.
Now, let me tell you what the perception... Why that perception is that it causes weight gain. If you are not tracking calories, obviously nighttime is the end of the day. It's the last of what you're eating. So whatever you eat at the end of the day is going to be perceived that that's what's causing you to gain weight because that's what's putting you into the surplus. But it doesn't matter if you ate that at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. If you're not tracking, of course, you have a nighttime is the end of your day. So if you're not tracking, all of the food you eat at the end of the day is going to be what puts you in your surplus.
Yep.
But if you're tracking, say you're tracking and you're on a 1,600 calorie a day diet.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to eat only like 500 during the day and you eat a huge dinner or a big dinner and a snack and you eat 1,100 calories at 8 p.m., you're still at 1,600 for the day. You're still at a deficit.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter. You can eat it at 8, 9. Now, there are some benefits to not eating right before you go to sleep in terms of it allows your body to not be digesting. At night, you sleep a little better.
What is it, 2 hours?
2 hours, because you sleep a little better because your body can actually go into recovery mode and not be working on digesting.
Yeah.
And then, of course, better sleep means you're going to be more likely to have more movement the next day, and then you're going to not have cravings the next day. So there's like lots of indirect things.
Yeah.
But eating at night does not directly cause weight gain, and I go to bed every night with a snack. I love a nighttime snack. I always save macros for a nighttime snack. I don't feel it causes me any issues.
What'd you have yesterday?
A mini Itzit.
Those are good. I had one yesterday.
Oh my God. The mini Itzit ice creams. They're big in the Bay Area because they're located in San Francisco. But they came out with a mini version, which is perfect. And it's not that small. It's actually not that small.
It's filling. It's good.
It's 170 calories. It's delicious, the perfect size, little snack. I love that companies are coming out with mini versions. I think this is a lot. I think that America's on the right track.
We have to go back to portion control.
Yeah.
And the reason is, you know what's crazy is Joe Rogan, again, I'll go back to him because he references. He showed a picture on the beach in the 50s, I believe, and the way we looked. And you show a picture now, it's like we're going in a bad direction,
mm-hmm.
especially women. Women are like bigger than ever. It's like, dude, we got to slow down. Portions are too much. You can't eat my portion size. There's no way.
I figured that out a few years ago, and I figured out that that's what was kind of like messing me up, even on cheat days.
Yes.
So like even on cheat days, I shouldn't be eating crumb for crumb with you.
No, because you could.
I could.
You got a man's appetite.
So I kind of started to use it as kind of like, I need to eat half of what you eat.
Yes.
If you eat, you know, like a burrito, I should be eating half the burrito. If you are having, you know, just everything. If you have four donuts, I should have two donuts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times women get into a situation where we gain a lot of weight side by side with our husbands because we eat together, we enjoy going to dinner together, and we share everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you and I go somewhere, we share a piece of cheesecake, you eat half the cheesecake, I eat the second half of the cheesecake, I'm screwed because now I shouldn't be eating as much as you.
Facts.
So it's all about being mindful and knowing how the body works. And yep. I kind of use that as kind of like a gauge for me.
Yes.
Like mindful. I know that I need to be eating like half of what you eat,
yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Especially on indulgences. Yeah. On indulgences, for sure. Anyways, guys, hopefully we've shed some light on some common myths because I thought there was a lot of good ones in there. And you know what? I'm not.
And juice.
Let me tell you this. I'm not judging you guys because I believed every single one of those things at one time. I promise you. I believed every single one of those things.
We all did. A lot of
us did. At a given time.
I'm 47. How much BS I've been told when I was back into bodybuilding in the 90s? Like all this bro fake science. Like if I go back, I'd clean it all up. It was all stupid. Oh,
and there's so many more where this came from. So let me know if this was something you like. If you like the debunking the myths, we'll do it again because they're infinite. There are so many.
Many.
That we could sit here for hours and hours and hours. And this was a bonus show, but it ended up being like a full episode. But thank you so much, guys. We'll see you on the next one.
See ya.